How's everybody doing? Hi, Mike. Thanks for playing. When do you leave?
Tuesday.
Okay. I would like, before I get into the message, I would like to pray for a few things that are happening around here. And so I am going to, try to explain this. So I am going to say, let's pray for this. And then you guys can raise your hand if you want to pray for that specific prayer request. And I'll have four or five of these. And we'll have a few prayers here before we start. So, number one, who would like to pray for Mike's summer in Philadelphia? Eddie. We'd like to pray for the members of Deserts End spending the summer in L.A. Actually, Owen. We'll do Owen. He's got kids there. Who would like to pray for the children in our church? Mike? Who would like to pray for the future children in our church? Nate. other prayer requests? Or anybody else wants to pray? For a job for Mr. John. Has anybody want to pray that does not have a request? All right, we're going to have an arm wrestle between Lilia and Eddie. I'll pray for John, and then I'll close us. So, Eddie, why don't you start us, and I'll close us. Well, Father, we pray for God, all the things going on. All our lives are full. Lord, you've granted us, God, all a dose of wonder, beauty, and trial. And Father, we ask, God, that you would walk, God, into our life, God, a closer walk with thee. And I thank you for the chance to be with and sing with, God, my family this morning. I pray that you would bless all these prayer requests. God, bless our time together, Lord, in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we have been in a series on finances and money, and I came to the conclusion that it's time to end. And so this week I'm going to review where we have come, and then next week we are going to, I think, if all goes well, I think we'll talk about the gospel and money and my heart, and I will break bread together, and then we'll launch off into wherever Jesus fires next. So I struggled with the best way to review where we've come, and I have a lot of thoughts down here that I could sort of view, and the things that I thought were important, but I thought maybe we'd start to just read the passages and verses and chapters that we settled on, and some of them we spent a long time in, and some of them we didn't. But there's eight sort of solid chunks of scripture, and that'll take a bunch of time. And I was like, well, is that what we should do with the service? And then I thought Paul told Timothy not to neglect the public reading of scripture, so I thought, well, let's do that. But that does mean that the whole we will trust the Holy Spirit together to bring to mind truths we went over to help encourage us with the truths that are there, that the Word of God would be encouraged us this morning. And then with however much time we have left, I have thoughts to review from our series. And so that'll be what we'll do today. And so I'm going to pray just briefly and ask for the Holy Spirit to bless us. Lord. Oh, Lord Father, Lord, help our minds to lock into. God, it can be hard when someone's praying to lock in. God, it can be hard, God, when someone is reading the words, God, and there's not eye contact, God, to lock in. God, I want to lock into Your Spirit. I want Your Spirit to encourage me, God, and bring me to the place, God, that You want me to be. God, we need You to work in our lives, and I pray that Your Word would have its effect, that it, and in our hearts, this morning, it would find good soil. God, and there may be seeds in there from messages prior, God, that get to be watered. Lord, I pray, God, that You would water, help them sprout, and bless us together in Your Word. Lord, I am excited to be in Your Word with these people. So, Father, bless us. All right, let's turn to, we'll start in Matthew 19. If you remember, as you're turning, this series started with the rich young ruler. So we'll start there. Matthew 19, verse 16. I'm going to read out of the House Bible, the 1984 NIV. You can follow along in whatever you have. If there's not enough Bibles around you, they're scattered around, and there's some in the back, I think. Okay, verse 16. Now a man came to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want eternal life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on His glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Turn to Deuteronomy 26. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 26. It's on page 143, Deuteronomy 26, verse 1. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it, and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Turn to Habakkuk. When somebody finds it, you can yell out a page number. It'll be Habakkuk 3. Page 664. All right, Habakkuk 3, page 664. We'll start in verse 16. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. He's being invaded. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Turn to 1 Chronicles. Chapter 29, page 307, we're going to start in verse 6. Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave for the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory, in the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord God of our father Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you. About Matthew 6. Page 685, Matthew 6, verse 19. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. That is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Turn back one book to Malachi, chapter 3. Page 676. We'll start in verse 6 and go through the rest of the chapter. "I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you will ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out His requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly, the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. And the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. And then lastly, Luke 16. Jesus told His disciples, I'll give you a second, page 740, Luke 16, we'll start in verse 1. The parable of the shrewd manager, says our Bible. Jesus told His disciples, there is a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So He called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. And those were our passages. I will do a little bit of a, just a few thoughts from our teachings. walk us through a little bit. You know, the statistics say, this is where we started, that money does change us. If you were to get a bunch of money now, it would change you. It does change us. And the research and the studies say that it changes us not for the better. The more money we have, the less we give. We become more moral or less moral. Less we help people. Less distorts our sense of who we are. We become wise in our own eyes. And we get a false sense of security. Part of that is because we become self-sufficient and we don't trust God. And when we don't trust God, there are consequences that walk into our lives, and we think a whole bunch of money won't change us. But the studies say it will. So we started that okay, what is money and how I need to handle it? And we said that money is It's morally neutral, but it is dangerous. It is powerful. Powerful for good and also for evil. A little like fire. Talked about how money isn't actually all that helpful when real trouble comes, when the day of calamity hits. That is not one of the few precious things that are on the earth. Talked about how money is dangerous because it deceives us. Right? There are some sins that while you're doing them, you know you're sinning. Greed is not one of them. I have witnessed greed in churches. I've witnessed greed in this church. I've witnessed greed with other people. But nobody seems to know greed. We don't sense it and know it in our own souls. In the same way as other sins. And so Jesus says a strong statement to the rich young ruler because he's deceived. And the strong statement is, go sell your possessions. Go. And Jesus is pointing out to the man that he hasn't actually kept the Ten Commandments. That he actually doesn't have, he hasn't kept them. That he doesn't have God first. If God were first, then God could say, hey, I want you to take my resources and give them away. Because God wasn't first. Money was first, or comfort, or some amount of significance that he was putting in money, or however it walked out in his heart, God wasn't first. And he was deceived, and that was our point. Is that we can be deceived and we are probably more materialistic than we realize. And I had a few points at the end. Assume you are in denial. Jesus is strong and blunt with this man. Assume the money you think you can give away is less than you can really give away. Assume the amount of money you think you need is more than you really need. Assume you need the tithe. Reorient you from reality like smelling salts to break the power of dragon sickness. And you need to focus on the true wealth of the gospel to break the power of dragon sickness. That Jesus, though he was rich, became poor for our sake. We walked on and we talked about how everything's a gift. All of everything we have is a gift, like David prayed. It's all a gift. And I can think I worked hard for things, but really I just leveled opportunity and blessings and intellects that God's given me and a country God's given me and where I was born and if I were in a village, in some mountain village somewhere in other countries, I might not have half of what I have now. And so God's given us everything. And if God has given it all, and it will still be his when I am gone, then I am a steward. I am here to steward something that does not belong to me. So Joseph, he managed Pharaoh's things. He was able to enjoy the fruit of Pharaoh's things, being the second to Pharaoh, but he managed it. They were not his. When I drove a truck for Pepsi-Cola, I am driving a truck that does not belong to me. I get to drive the truck. It's cool. I get to listen to the radio and put on the heater or the air conditioner. But I never thought that this is mine. I never treated it like I was really mine, like I could bring it home. I was a steward of this truck. We talked about how it can be, talk about our hearts, how we can identify what's in our hearts. One of the ways we said is it hard to give money? What is it easy to give money to? See, because if it's hard to give money away, but it's easy to spend money on a house or on clothes, then it seems like you are looking to the things you spend money on to feed significance or value or hope or life comes from that. And so, my acceptability, my significance can come from my house. My acceptance can come from my appearance. I'm not looking to God for those things, so I would rather spend money on those things than give money away, than give money to God. Or maybe it's really easy for you to save money, but it's hard for you to give money away. Right? And if that's true, then maybe the security of money, you're looking to money for security and a trusting of money for the future that should be in God, and that's why it's easy to give money there and harder to give it to God. And we talked about how this is a heart, how we use your money, we understand where our heart is. I know what you love by what you spend your money on. And then we talked about the rich or the unrighteous manager, and how it's crazy that Jesus tells a story about somebody that's unrighteous and wicked. But here's the point, is that he uses present resources to provide for future realities. He provided, this unrighteous man provided for his future security. I like this sentence. It said, "This is a conniving, sinful, self-protecting, maneuvering businessman who acts for his own future benefit in a very clear and ingenious way, using resources at his disposal with shrewdness to secure the future that he wants." Impressive. Clever. And then Jesus makes his point, right? That the people of this world are more shrewd than the people of light. And I go, yeah, all around, all these things, everybody's trying to make money and generate wealth and retirement and investment accounts, and it's everywhere, all over, all these strategies, all these things you can do, all the investment planning to provide for this little slice of future. Take care of your future. Take care of your future. Are we shrewd in taking care of our future? That's Jesus' point. Are we shrewd? We need to be shrewd in taking care of our future. We get caught up in the world. We get caught up in providing for our future here and not our future. We're not looking toward the city whose architect and builder is God. And so we talked about, now Jay had us, let's make a deal. I think that was the name of the show. But you get the idea was is they'd have a contestant and you'd see what's behind door number one. And behind door number one, there'd be something nice, like you have a lazy boy. And you'd be like, ah, a lazy boy. But the idea is you can trade the Lazy Boy in for what's behind door number two. And a new car might be behind door number two. It might be something really nice. Or it could be a package of baby wipes. Something very small and insignificant and ludicrous and usually funny. And they say, do you want to trade with them, door number one, for what's behind door number two? But you can't see it. You can't see it. And it was always fun watching it when they did. They did make the trade. And the idea is now we can make a trade. We can trade. Well, we have now for what's behind door number two, except we know. It's amazing. We know. I don't want to say we know there's a new car back there, but we know it's wonderful. No mind is conceived what Jesus has planned for those who love Him. And trade what you have now for future realities, provide for your future. That's what Jesus is saying. And we talked about the faith aspect in this, how at times people in this room have trusted God for a spouse, or they've trusted God for finances, or they've gone out on a limb on a mission trip, or all these places where we have walked into crazy faith, and I called us. Let's walk into faith here. Where's your promise? Where's your conviction? How do you want to walk out this area of life in money and finances, radical faith? It is a test and requires deep faith, this area. This is why we spend so many weeks talking about it. I called us to reformat our minds to stewardship, to reformat our minds to faith in promises. And we talked about it. We walked through Habakkuk. We walked through the whole book. And we talked. And the point I remember there is scarcity. It is going to get scarce. Sometime in life, we do not know what the future is. It is going to be scarce. It is going to be hard. It is going to get difficult. There will be seasons of that. And to train your heart now for generosity. To train our hearts now for joyful sacrifice. And that we can wrestle. We can ask God questions. We can talk about fair. And guys, I just think about all of life. Do you ever have the sense like, man, I really need to accept my circumstances? We have to accept our lot in life. Our lot financially. Or our lot, whether we're single or married, or a lot that we live in America and all the good and the bad that comes from that, and to rest in, to accept what God has given. We need to do that in lots of places, and financially is one of them, and Habakkuk had to do that. He had to watch the invaders coming, and he had to say, okay, though all this is true, I will rejoice in God. And in your life, you can fill in, though all this is true, whatever this is for you, I rejoice in my God, the Savior. I'll just share this last thought. And then we just talked about how the key to all this is to really just believe that God's going to take care of us, that He's a good Father. To put it, as Chris Tomlin puts it, in this teaching, we didn't talk much about money, we just talked about God. That God is a Father that delights in His kids, that squeezes His kids, that loves them, that can't wait for Christmas morning to come, and He sets up the video camera, and we're going to get to heaven, and He's just going to love to give. I talked about what I love to give to my kids. I love to spoil my kids, and I would if it were good for them. And it's not always good for them. If you remember, I talked about different little places I had sacrificed for my kids. and different people that you've sacrificed for in your life. And God is that to that degree, loving to that degree and more. I'm a father who's evil. Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father give to those who ask? He says, if I gave you Jesus Christ, in Romans 8:32, how will I not graciously give you all things? And just the heart of God, we've focused on His heart. He's a Father. And He's loving. And He wants to give. And you're in His family, and He's your Father. And because of that relationship and the security you have in that relationship by faith, you can let your future provision go a little bit. You don't have to worry about it. And therefore, you can just seek Him, and that's what He said. Seek His kingdom. That should be where my mind and heart and life and focus is, because I know I have a Father that delights in me and is going to take care of me. That is what Jesus said, and that is a measure of faith in the area of finances in and of itself. And so there's a faith. This is, we have a stewardship and we'll be accountable. And there's a faith of an eternal reality. And so I use my money different. And there's a faith in the provision of God. Great is your faithfulness. And those are some of the places we walk. And those are some of the places I believe the Holy Spirit has touched and tugged your heart to walk us into greater faith. And I know that there have been people here that have been engaging on these truths in their own lives, and there have been conversations happening. And next week we'll sort of just wrap it all up, and there's a few. Like I said, grace in our own hearts. And money. We'll wrap that into all in a big package and celebrate it together. Okay, are there any comments or announcements before we pray? Yes. All right, I'll pray for us. Lord, let us, God, grant us joy and celebration. Joy in You regardless of circumstances, and joy in You because You're a good, good Father who provides today. Today is enough trouble of its own, and You have filled us today with much good food and plums. And I praise You for that, and I pray that You would allow us to be as free and loving in our hearts toward You and other people as You are with us. God, I just want to be like You. You were rich and You became poor and You did it with joy. Lord, You're amazing. God, make us more like You. Thank You for who You are. In Jesus' name, amen.